This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
And it's the back-to-school series resuming as we talk to superintendents. There's from around Douglas County, Superintendent Erica Bear of the South Umpqua School District. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much for having me.
So, you're a ways into the school year. When did you guys begin?
We started actually the Wednesday after Labor Day, so we're only about a week and a half in.
Wow. So how did the year begin in the district?
It was such a phenomenal start. We really had a ton of great energy coming into the school year. Umpqua Thrive put on a back-to-school bash that was hosted on South Umpqua High School campus, and it just really set the tone for the community and for our kids, and really exciting. Lots of really happy kids coming into the school, and everything has been super smooth as we've gotten started.
Yeah, that event was a new thing, right?
It was. It was the first time we'd done it or participated in it, and it was phenomenal. We had over, I think it was about 375 families check in, and it was definitely more than that that were there, but they gave away a ton of backpacks, certificates for shoes, there were meals there, and free haircuts, and really just an opportunity for families to connect, and there were all of the clubs were there, so students could check that out, and it was a really awesome community building experience.
So as you get into the year, anything new program-wise or new hires or anything like that?
Well, we do have some really exciting new hires. Ryan Savage is actually someone who was at our high school last year and has moved over to the district office and is now supporting the teaching and learning department. So lots of exciting changes there. And we added two new vice principals to our team. So Chris Lofton has joined Coffinberry Middle School. And we also have a new high school principal at South Umpqua High School. Cody Gray.
All right. And so a lot of change there. A lot of people. Now, were a lot of them new to the district?
No. So Chris Lofton was actually the only new administrator added to the district. Everyone else was just familiar faces and new places.
And talk about your enrollment. What's it looking like so far?
So we're hovering right now between about 1420 and 1430. So that'll kind of stabilize in the next couple of weeks. But that's where we anticipated we would be starting the year. So we feel good about that.
And how many years have you been with the district now?
So I'm actually just entering my second year. So last year was my first year in South Umpqua. And I am excited to be in year two.
And you came from?
I came from the Ashland School District most recently. I was the assistant superintendent there.
So what are some of the things you learned about the area in your first year?
Oh, my gosh. Well, coming from Ashland, not super far away, I already knew how beautiful the community was and all of the incredible natural resources that were here. That was definitely a draw because I had explored those by driving up the freeway previously. But I've really learned that this is a community that cares a lot about their kids and their student success. They care a lot about each other. This is a community that comes together when folks are needing help and support. And I've just found it to be an incredibly supportive and caring community for our kids and also for everyone.
How has education changed since you got in the field?
In so many ways. And there's some things that, of course, will always be the same. I think at its most fundamental level, the biggest change that I've seen is the kind of unending access to information that students have now. So teachers used to kind of be the holders of the information, and they would facilitate sharing that out. And now it's really so much of it is helping students gather information, assess information, and figure out how to use it and apply it to build their skills. So just they can learn anything from anywhere, and it's just a new world in that way for us.
And how many years have you been in education?
Oh, gosh. Over 20. I would have to do some math. I think we're in year 24 or 25 this year.
And what point was it where you knew you wanted to be a teacher or be in education?
Well, it was pretty early on. I grew up with public servants. My mom was a child development specialist who worked in Portland Public Schools, and my dad worked in county government down there. And I saw my mom's work and impact in the schools and was really inspired by what she was able to do. And then I was also the oldest of three much younger siblings. And so I was the one that was forcing them to play school from a very early age and just really enjoyed that and loved being with kids and supporting younger kids all the way through. So it was pretty early on.
And was there anything else you really considered?
I did consider going into some kind of writing profession, some kind of, I love to write, and actually I am a published author, but that was the other career path that I considered, going more in the journalism route and thinking about being like a newspaper writer or something like that. But I'm glad I chose education.
So what kinds of things have you published?
I have a book called that I co-wrote called Connecting Through Conversation, a playbook for talking with students. It's for educators.
Wow. And how long ago did you write that?
It was published in April of 23, so a couple years.
And so you probably had time to write it during COVID.
If only. No, it actually came out of many of the lessons from COVID, so it was written primarily in 2022.
Wow. So the South Umpqua School District, I mean, you've got a lot of old buildings.
Yeah.
How are you dealing with that?
Oh, my gosh, that's a kind way to say that. I'm so grateful for the incredible work and love that the community has put into keeping our aging facilities looking as wonderful as they do. We have a phenomenal maintenance and custodial staff that really takes care. And we're definitely getting to some significant pinch points. Canyonville is approaching its 100th birthday. And so you can imagine that all of the infrastructure there is beginning to be extremely problematic. Plumbing, electrical, all of those pieces. So we are having to get very creative and trying to figure out how we can keep these facilities safe and functional learning environments. It's actually an important pillar of our strategic plan in the next 5 years. So I have no ready answers for that, but we are working hard. And we're also, you know, accessing grants, accessing any other kind of ways that we can keep these buildings operational for our kids.
And in a lower income area overall, like the south part of the county is, then trying to do things like past bond levies have been a challenge.
It is a significant challenge. We did have a failed bond several years ago before I was here, and it is a challenge. And so if that is something we were to consider in the future, we would first have to really demonstrate that we're worthy of the trust that kind of investment makes. And we would show that through student results and fiscal stewardship, and also just demonstrate the real need for our kids. So I'm not sure if that's a route that we'll go down in the future, but it is a real challenge in this county because there's some real constraints around financial ability.
And if I understand the funding formula from the state, I mean, you can't take some of that money that is met for per student use and, you know, move some over into getting ready to build something.
No, that's absolutely true. There's no real way within our current funding formula from the state to allocate more resources or the resources that would be necessary to do the significant improvements that are needed in some of our aging buildings to make those significant improvements, because we have to, that funding has to go to teachers. It has to go directly to materials and curriculum and the instructors who are in front of our kids. So, and it's, there just isn't enough room for what it costs to build a new building, for example, or even like replace the plumbing and electrical in a building.
All right, more when we come back on Inside Douglas County. Superintendent Erica Bear of the South Umpqua School District. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming up at 1 o'clock. We continue the back-to-school series tomorrow, and we are going to be talking to Jeff Clark of the Oakland School District on Fridays inside Douglas County. Superintendent Erica Bear of the South Umpqua School District with us today. Now, one of the things, I just thought of this because it came up in a different context earlier. The governor issued an executive order about cell phone use in schools that goes into effect, I think, the beginning of January. A lot of back and forth on that, people with varying opinions, and gives you, one more thing to deal with.
That is true. We did decide to go ahead and put the policy in place to start the school year because changing an expectation like that mid-year is a real challenge. And so we started the year with no cell phones. Bell to bell is kind of the rule. And it's gone pretty well so far. It was an initial having to really make sure that our kids understood the expectations, that families understood how that was going to work, and then just getting into that routine. And honestly, so far the feedback has been pretty positive. We're seeing things like kids having real life conversations at the lunch table and some more interactions that we weren't seeing before. So there's been some really nice outcomes. It was a challenging timeline and a challenging way to have something like this be put into place. And at the same time, given that that's where we are, we were able to put it in place, and it's going really smoothly.
So how do you execute that? Do students keep their phones? Do they turn in their phones? What do you do?
Yeah, so we decided to go ahead and make the rule that the cell phone had to be it could be in your backpack or your locker. So it could be with you in your backpack, but not in your pocket. And so that if there is some reason that there's a true emergency or some reason that they need to access their cell phone, they can do that because it would be right there in their backpack. But it's not that kind of constant vibration in their back pocket.
Do you feel like this is going to help out in the long term? And there's a number of other states that have done similar things that maybe a few years up the road we'll look back and go, gosh, why did we allow the other direction?
I'm hopeful because that's what we're doing. I'm hopeful that it has some really positive outcomes. I do already see some signs that that could be the case. You know, as I said, we're seeing kids socialize in a different way. We're seeing a lot less attention interruption happening. And so I am really hopeful that it's going to have a significantly positive impact on our kids.
For the South Umpqua School District, talk about partnerships you have with the college, other education organizations.
Yeah, we have some really wonderful partnerships. One that's new for us this year is with the YMCA. They're providing on-site daycare for us at our elementary school, and that has been a tremendous benefit to our community. It's located at Tri-City, but we provide transportation from our other two elementary schools to a central location. And to have a safe place for kids to go for daycare in South County has been hugely beneficial for our kids and for our families. So that's been really exciting. We really value our partnership with the Cow Creek Tribe and all of the educational pieces that they do and our partnerships in order to really help support our youth. That's been a phenomenal asset for our kids and our community. UCC has been a tremendous partner, especially in the last couple of years, and just having that ability to offer college credit along with some really exciting career exploration opportunities actually on the UCC campus.
Do you feel like that gives kids more reason to stick around the area?
I do. I think if we can show students how their future can be rich and fulfilled right here in Douglas County, they're likely to either stay or leave and get education that they want somewhere else and come back. But we know if any student has a college credit on their transcript, they're significantly more likely to pursue higher education of some kind, whether that be in the trades, at a community college, or a four-year college, and they're significantly more likely to complete whatever degree they're seeking.
And if they're able to knock off a percentage of 2 or 4 year college credits, then their family financially gets a break there.
I am a beneficiary of this. My daughter is able to finish college in 3 years instead of four because of the number of college credit courses she took in high school. And that is saving me and my husband a significant amount of money. So we really want our high school students and their families to know and understand that when you're getting these credits in high school, it's at significantly low or no cost. And that is very different than what it's going to look like when they enroll in those courses after they're done with high school.
And for the high school kids in particular, I mean, we're in a shifting climate. Some of the things that we really saw as bright job paths 5 years ago, suddenly AI has jumped over. And so there's, I mean, this is a constantly evolving process.
That is true. I always, you know, I've been saying for years, even before AI was even in anyone's imagination, that we are preparing kids today for jobs that don't exist yet. And that remains true, and it's never been more true than it is today. And so what we really want students to leave high school with is that ability to be collaborative, that ability to problem solve, that ability to think critically about issues and figure out how to approach them in a way that is going to be a benefit no matter what path they choose.
Talk about teacher and staff retention. Education has been struggling, not as many people getting in the field the traditional way. How's your district doing?
Yeah, so that is a significant challenge in Douglas County and everywhere, but I'm thrilled to report that this past year, our retention rate was significantly higher. So we had a lot fewer teachers and support staff to bring on board, which means that we have our staff are sticking around. And so the way I'm really viewing this new challenge is that retention is the new recruitment. And so our job is to hire the very best person and then keep them for as long as we possibly can. And that also means identifying those folks who really have potential in the classroom that are in our organization in some other way, and then helping grow and provide pathways for them to become licensed teachers. Because when we do that, they're already committed to our community. They're already committed to this area and to our schools. And so if we can identify those folks early, support them in training, and then do everything we can to make sure that they stick around for a long time, then we're going to have a much better trajectory.
You're two working in the district and working with the school board. How is that part going?
It's going fantastic. I have a wonderful school board. They're incredibly supportive, and they just care a ton about kids and want to do the right thing for the students that we're serving. And so it's been a really, really supportive partnership.
Well, any particular projects you have them working on?
Well, we spent the better part of last year working on developing a strategic plan, which we're in year one of this year. And so that's where the majority of our focus is. We're also working together on identifying those district-wide values that we all have in common and then transitioning those into standards of excellence. So the board is helping support in that work. And then just helping to work together to identify those targets that we want our students to hit and lining up the resources and the tools that we need to help get them there.
And for your district, as you look ahead, are there future plans, certain things you'd like to see added?
Well, I think what I really want to see in South Umpqua is that we return to a district of excellence where every single student leaves third grade a reader. We're graduating every single student with some kind of pathway and plan forward. And those markers that that used to kind of identify success are really important in making sure that we are preparing students for the world of tomorrow. And so that's not all about the test, and that's not all about some of those statistics, but I want to make sure that we're getting really, really good at those basic things. And so we have been really fortunate in receiving some specific grants and some specific support around some of those initiatives, like third grade reading, like attendance, like high school success. So these are the pieces that we're really focused on right now. And everything that we're doing is supporting those underlying goals. We're trying not to grab onto a bunch of shiny new things until we feel really, really solid with the academic basic things that we need all of our students to have.
What's your favorite part about being superintendent?
My favorite part about being superintendent, I will say this morning, I got to be on the high school campus greeting kids as they were coming in and saying good morning, talking to the teachers as I'm wandering through the halls, being able to spend time in classrooms and see some of the incredible things that our educators are doing. So really just being in the building and being able to support that really important work.
Superintendent Erica Baer, South Umpqua School District, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.